I'm John Krall. Coming up on No Limits, we will talk about the divisive topic of public smoking bans. A measure that would have created a statewide smoking ban died in an Indiana Senate committee yesterday amid arguments about whether it should include exemptions for, among other places, nursing homes. We will talk about all of this with Indiana Senator Ron Alting, a Republican from Lafayette, Lindsey Grace of Smoke Free Indiana and the American Lung Association, Mike Smith of the Casino Association of Indiana, and John Livengood of the Indiana Restaurant Association and Indiana Hotel and Lodging Association, and, of course, you. Please join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, emailing us at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending questions or comments via Facebook or Twitter. First, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. We are talking today about public smoking bans, and we're fortunate to have as our guest Senator Ron Alting, a Republican from Lafayette. Senator Alting, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Lindsey Grace, who is with the Indiana Campaign for Smoke-Free Air and the American Lung Association. Lindsey, good to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
John Livengood, who is the president of the Indiana Restaurant Association and Indiana Hotel and Lodging Association. John, glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And Mike Smith, president and CEO of the Casino Association of Indiana. Mike, good to have you on the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
We also may be joined by Representative Charlie Brown, Democrat from Gary, maybe calling in at some point. Okay, so we've got a little bit of a news hook here today. The bill before the Indiana General Assembly that would have imposed a statewide smoking ban, public smoking ban, died in the Indiana Senate committee that that Senator Alting chairs. It was also he was one of the authors of the bill. Senator Alting, can you talk a little bit about what killed this measure?
Well, I think what killed the measure is that we didn't get support from the number one entity out there, which is American Cancer Society. I think if there's any one common goal among all 10 members of the committee is that is we do have respect for that organization, the most effective, highly organized organization that fights against not only clean air but also research in cancer and does a lot of great things for overall for everything dealing with that terrible disease of cancer. So, you know, I think that, and they were very honest and very upfront and very open that without taking out the bars, that they would oppose the bill. There was no wiggle room on that. They made it very clear, and they made it very clear that if the bill would have made it out of committee, that they would kill it on the floor. So I think what it came down to is that we didn't have the votes to take out the taverns. The votes wasn't there. This bill came from the House of Representatives as is. My goal was to keep it as is, and I think, I really not just think but believe that if we would have had the support of the American Cancer Society and numbers of their representatives in the hall, that we could have got this bill not only through committee, but I think we could have got it through the floor. It wouldn't have been easy, but let there be no mistake about it. It couldn't clear either one of those without their support. They're very respected, and this senator respects them. I mean, I have nothing negative to say about them. We unfortunately just disagree on not what our goal is, but how we get to our goal. And I believe that this bill would have been a good bill to start off with. I think that anytime you make a step forward in elimination of smoke-free air, you're making a step in the right direction to eliminate all of the workplace and the restaurants, which if you would take a poll or two, the highly frequently visited areas that Hoosiers go to is a step in the right direction. Was it perfect? Absolutely not. We could talk the whole hour about the inefficiencies of the bill. About the footage from the front doors, an example to the street and the meters. It wasn't a perfect bill. But I guess, you know, I just believe and respectfully disagree with my opposition on this in terms of I think you're better having 60 or 70 or 80%, whatever number you want to pull down of something, versus a zero. But I respect their right to disagree, and look forward to that debate again next year.
Lindsey Grace, should there be an exemption for bars?
No, there shouldn't. And there actually shouldn't really be an exemption for anybody, the casinos or nursing homes or any of them. We definitely want all workplaces covered.
Yeah, we'll get to all of that, too. Don't worry. We've got an hour.
But, that was really the sticking point of the Indiana Campaign for Smoke-Free Air. By just having restaurants, which was what the bill kind of would have looked like, it really did nothing but promote the status quo. There's a lot of communities across Indiana that already have a stronger law in place, and they would have been able to keep that. But the bill didn't do a lot, and we're better than that in Indiana. We can pass a stronger law, and I think our Hoosiers deserve a stronger law.
Well, then let me toss it to either Mike Smith or John Livengood here. Why should there be an exemption for bars? Make the argument?
Want me to take that one?
John Livengood? Okay, John Livengood's leading in. Okay.
We really did. The Restaurant Association didn't get involved this year. We kind of sat on the sideline on that issue. And primarily because our membership's divided on the issue. We got when Indianapolis passed their ban, we have many members who felt that they'd like a level playing field across the board. But then we also had members who were enjoying the exemptions that were in the bill, and they didn't want that to change. And frankly, I don't want to lose members in either category. So we didn't get involved with that debate. But as I look back at the debate over the last 20 years, when I came to work for the Restaurant Association in 1990, there was only one smoking ban in the state, and that was in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. And it was a partial ban. It was not a complete ban. And we used that as an example and as a model for a long time when other communities would consider acting in this area. Eventually, Bloomington passed a complete ban, and other communities have followed suit as well. I think the lesson there to me is that you're better off realizing that this is one of those issues that probably has to be dealt with incrementally, and that the advice from Senator Aldingus and Representative Brown that we ought to take the compromise that was offered and move on was probably good advice.
Mike Smith, what should there be an exemption for bars?
Well, I still think, from a personal level, not necessarily as my role of the Casino Association, but at a personal level, I think there should be a debate. Rather, this issue is an issue that belongs in at the federal government level, where you're deciding whether or not tobacco should be legal or not. And I think there's still enough room and enough people out there that think that the marketplace should dictate. People have choices. We all have choices. And that you should be able to exercise that choice, like rather be the bars, the restaurants. I'm a reformed five-pack-a-day smoker. And I'm not necessarily going to every smoking bar in town, but I have that choice, and I think there's something to be said about preserving that.
So I understand your argument correctly, that it's sort of the classic libertarian argument that people have the right to make their own decisions regardless of whether, that those decisions are damaging to their health, or in this case, I'm guessing Lindsey Grace would make an argument that while you may have that right to make the decision for yourself, you don't necessarily have the right to make it for everyone around you.
Correct. Or the person that is working in that establishment, which is really what it's about. You and I and Mike can go choose wherever we want to go out and have a drink or whatever, but there is somebody who's working there, which is really the whole premise of this. This isn't about patrons going to places. It's nice, I enjoy it, but it's really about providing a safe working environment for these bartenders and these cooks and these bussers. So that's where it lies, not Mike and I wanting to go grab a drink in a smoke-free environment.
This issue, I think we're all agreeing, probably isn't going to go away. Already, I think Representative Brown said he plans to bring it back next year. And we've learned, we had Melina Kennedy on the program a couple of weeks ago, and she indicated it's clearly going to be an issue the upcoming mayor's race here in Indianapolis. So why don't we listen right now to what Melina Kennedy had to say on the program at that point.
My position is that we need to have a comprehensive smoking ban. I've made that clear from the beginning. I've authored an op-ed that was printed in the Star And I have to say, I don't come to that conclusion lightly. My dad, I mentioned, was a Greek immigrant. What did he do? He owned a restaurant. That's often the case. But I tell you, he'd be rolling in his grave right now to think, oh, my goodness, you know, you would be suggesting no smoking in my restaurant. But it's really the right thing. It's important for health reasons. It's important for economic development reasons, as we've seen with this article about the NCAA teams being matched with smoking bars. And so I'm very clear, and it goes back to my point about leadership being clear where you are.
That was Melina Kennedy, the Democratic candidate for mayor here in Indianapolis, talking about smoking bans here in Indianapolis, Marion County. Lindsey Grace, you'd indicated before we went on the air that you had a few things to say about the smoking ban here in central Indiana.
Yeah, and I think what happened yesterday at the State House, and the reason, you know, nobody won yesterday. The campaign didn't win. The Cancer Society didn't win. Hoosiers definitely didn't win. So we're not looking at this defeat of a bad bill as a celebration. But the reason why we wanted bars and taverns put back in is a real example of what has happened in Indy. They passed their law, which is, at the time, that was kind of what everyone was doing in 2005. They were passing, I'm not giving them an excuse for passing a bad policy, but that's kind of what the nation was doing. There was like 10 smoke-free states, and that's about it. But they passed that law saying we could come back and, you know, change that law in just a couple of years, that this is incremental. Well, guess what? We're going on 6 years, and we now have 23 states that have passed us up, including any even other communities in Indianapolis, in Indiana, like Franklin and Elkhart and Bloomington. So that's what we were afraid is going to happen. If we get something passed that's very bad at the state level, I think everyone knows in this room how hard it will be to go back and close those loopholes, because they will say, we just did something about this, you know, go away. And that's what's happening in Indy. And we are thankful of Melina's support. And we, you know, we're definitely going to be going back in the Indianapolis level. And what John had said earlier about the level. had said earlier is what we're hearing now. Many of the bar owners who fought us tooth and nail back in 2005 are now coming to us and saying, we know this is going to happen. It's going to be inevitable. Let's level the playing field, because a lot of people had to make that decision. Am I going to become a bar or am I going to become a restaurant? And they really now want that level playing field. And the bars are not really fighting us. There's a couple of them, but that's really not where the opposition is lying in Indy.
Where is the opposition coming from?
Last time around, there was a coalition created called Save Indianapolis Bars. They're very well organized. Brad Kloppenstein, formerly of the Licensed Beverage Association, former friend of mine, and I also worked with him in radio as well, but still a friend. And
yeah,
so I didn't mean to say it like
there.
That.
Yeah,
no.
And a libertarian.
And a libertarian. So the Libertarian Party definitely
so
put
it's
up.
It's a philosophic.
It is. It is to them. And there was a couple of loud bar owners. The opposition is definitely in the minority, but they are a very loud minority.
Well, and we're talking about public smoking bans here on No Limits, and I'd like to invite our listeners to join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending questions or comments via Twitter or Facebook at WFYI. I also should note at this point that we issued invitations to representatives from the mayor's office and ICBA and both declined to appear on the show today, so I just want to get that out there that we had and did want them to be part of the conversation. We've gotten our first question actually coming in, a tweet saying, why don't politicians advocates consider a time-limited ban as an experiment? And the example is, say, try it for 3 months or just do it on Tuesdays, actually, they say in here. Senator Alting, I think you're the only practicing politician in the room right now. So,
yeah. Well, wise to... it's the first I've ever heard of that. Of course, in the Senate, we're a little bit new in this particular topic in general, because it's the first time we've ever addressed the bill. It's the first time I was the first chairman that ever heard the bill with public testimony. I was the first chairman ever called for a vote. So it starts in the House, typically. And it's an interesting theory, I guess. You know, I would be interested to study that or get my colleagues' views of it on both sides, because I've never heard of that before. But
something we might consider. We're talking about public smoking bans here on No Limits. I'm John Kraul. We're talking with Senator Ron Alting, Lindsey Grace, Mike Smith, and John Livengood. We're going to take a short break. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I'm John Kraul, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. We're talking today about public smoking bans. Our guests are Senator Ron Alting, Lindsey Grace, the Indiana Campaign for Smoke-Free Air, and the American Lung Association, Mike Smith, who's the president and CEO of the Casino Association of Indiana, John Livengood, who is the president of the Indiana Restaurant Association and Indiana Hotel and Lodging Association. We talked a bit about this idea of, it sounds like piloting a ban, almost. Mike Smith, does that strike you as a reasonable way to begin? We had a tweet from a listener who suggested that. Is there a way to get past the impasse there, do you think, or is it?
I would doubt it. And I think, you know, from a political perspective, as Senator Alting had referred to, you know, when you take a complex issue like this where you have high emotions on both sides, and you can't seem to find some common ground that it's got to be everything or nothing. And I think it just creates some real problems. And if you look at nationwide, there are a lot of statistics that are available already, especially in the gaming industry, that show what kind of an impact it has. We've experimented with making entire floors smoke-free, saw revenue drop in a big fashion. It's happened in Illinois. Even the Federal Reserve has acknowledged the fact that Illinois' problems are partially based on the smoking ban they've had over there. So I think it would be very difficult to have, although I guess there is a restaurant in Indianapolis here that is smoke-free until like, or a bar that's smoke-free until like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they light up there. But so I would think it would be difficult to do.
Lindsey Grace, you.
Well, I just wanted to say that the study from the Federal Reserve, the man who authored that study does not work for the Federal Reserve any longer. He did, nor does the Federal Reserve endorse that statement. He uses his title, but it is not a report from the Federal Reserve. It's his former title. He's a professor now.
I'd like to invite our listeners to join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881 or sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Benjamin, I understand you're calling from Indianapolis. You've got a question.
Yeah, that's correct. More of a comment, really.
Okay.
Discussion of a comprehensive smoking ban in the past, it's my understanding that small tobacco specialty shops have kind of been overlooked. And as a casual smoker of, you know, pipes and cigars, I just want to be sure that small businesses.
It sounds like we lost Benjamin there. He was talking about the small business specialty tobacco shops, and that they'd been kind of an obstacle. Is that the case, Senator Alting? Were they players in this process?
Well, I think the call in just reminds us all of, and I mentioned this, excuse me, in the committee yesterday. I have never had a bill that I've had so many different opinions on versus the smoking bill. Usually, if you deal in the General Assembly, you're pretty cut and dry on most issues. If it's education regarding the charter bill, you're for it or against it. Vouchers, you're for it or against it. Pro-life, pro-choice, you're for it or against it. You're not a little bit pro-life, or you're not a little bit pro-choice, or you're not a little bit for vouchers, but you stand on one area. And what makes this, as you will see with the callers calling in, what makes this very difficult from my perspective, and I think from members in the General Assembly, both Republicans and Democrat, is that you have so much diversity in your opinion on how to deal with this. We have a really powerful group in the General Assembly that believes that you should not tell business what they can do, that they should have the right to choose if they want to smoke or not go smoking. You have another group that looks at the fiscal matter of the state and believes that casinos should always be out of it because it's the third highest generator in the state in bringing in income. You got another group that says, well, wait a minute, you know, I could vote for this, but they all have to, this has to be completely non-smoking for the whole state. You got another group, the veterans, my buddies, that say, oh, wait a minute, you know, don't you cut me off at my Legion or VFW. I served this country. I put my life on the line. If I want to go into VFW, American Legion, to light up, I should have the right to do it. Then you have the others say, no. If you're going to take the bars away, then you're giving those, all the animal organizations, the upper hand, because then I'm going to lose the business, or and they're going to go over there and drink the $1.25 draft beers and so on and so on. So you can just see that this is not an easy subject to deal with, and because of that is why I come to the conclusion that I think that you're going to have to chip away at this, at least in Indiana, that you're better chipping away at it than trying to get it all at once, because of the diversity of the members, I don't know if you can get it all at once. I mean, the tavern legislation was added in the House of Representatives in second reading, and, you know, I've heard through House members that it had to go in or they couldn't have got the bill out. And in the majority over the last 5 years, there has been exemptions in that bill. So... You know, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just saying that it's a very diversified group of individuals that really believe in their own beliefs on what should be in this bill and what should not be in this bill. And it really makes it tough for the American Cancer Society, the Lung Association, legislators on both sides, and particularly the chairmans, is to try to find a balance that you can move forward and not backwards to get this through.
We've been joined now by Representative Charlie Brown, who is the House author of the bill. Representative Brown, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you back here. We have been talking a little bit about, first, what killed the bill yesterday, and discussing whether an incremental approach with some of these exemptions is the proper way to go. As the author and the driver behind the bill on the House side, what's your view?
I agree with Senator Alting that it has to be done incrementally. I am very, very disheartened that the advocates decided that they wanted all or nothing at all. I don't know how many of them have been around the General Assembly as long as Senator Alting and myself to know that you don't get all of what you want in one fell swoop, that this whole institution is about the friendly art of compromise. And I would have much rather preferred that the bill in its current form move forward and that we come back the following year to try to get remove some of those exemptions. The other thing that is very disheartening is that 27, 29, I think, other states have already implementing smoke-free air in public places. It's regrettable that Indiana is always bringing up the rear in major policy issues, especially dealing with public health. When you look at the reports that indicate that Indiana spends 2006 report, spent $300+ million on health related issues dealing with secondhand smoke. That amount of money alone would fill the hole in our budget. That's why it's so intriguing to me about my colleagues saying, no, we should not take a look at this. We tell people, institutions, businesses on a regular basis what they can and cannot do. In the bar industry, you got to have a license from the Board of Health. You make sure your water is at a certain temperature. We tell kids you got to go to school till you're 16. We tell women that they cannot have an abortion unless it's in it will impair your health. We on a regular basis, we are telling individuals and businesses, corporations, what they can and cannot do. I don't see any difference in this in terms of telling businesses if you cannot allow smoking because of the carnage that secondhand smoke does to both your workers and your patrons.
I think one of our listeners, Kristen, has a question on that point. Kristen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. One thing that's always puzzled me is that given the population of smokers is, what, about a quarter of Indiana's population, and bars and restaurants are so interested in the impact on their revenues, I'm a non-smoker that won't go to a bar or restaurant that allows smoking, and I would love to frequent their business, but I don't go. I don't bring my friends. Why not access the other 75% of the market that may not be frequenting your business just because you allow smoking? It would seem to me a better, a more profit motive in that part of the market than in the smoking market.
John Livengood, that sounds like one that's sort of in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I saw
there.
That coming right at me.
Yeah, coming in high and fast.
You know, in fact, you know, if I'm asked by a restaurateur what I think they ought to do, I'll tell them to try to be smoke-free, even if they're in a community where there is no local ordinance, because for most restaurants, it is a positive to be smoke-free rather than a negative. The restaurant's cleaner. It's the owner and the employees are working in a healthier environment, and it doesn't hurt them from a business point of view. But for those people who say it never hurts from a business point of view, they're wrong as well. Your prior caller about the cigarette shop, the tobacco shop, it's hard to run a tobacco shop or a cigar bar without allowing smoking. There are businesses situationally that will be harmed by an across-the-board smoking ban. I've seen restaurants try to go smoke-free and then go back because it didn't work for them. It depends on the individual, the location, the client base, and the situation. And so I think the caller that suggested a trial, a lot of restaurants have done trials, and some have, and most have stayed smoke-free after they've done trials. I think it's interesting. I think part of the difficulty here in this debate is that the advocates for a smoke-free environment have been so successful in our society that most of us live in a smoke-free world. I go to smoke-free restaurants. I stay in smoke-free hotel rooms. I don't go to businesses that allow smoking. I don't allow smoking in my home. You know, it is most of us don't confront secondhand smoke on a regular basis. And so we don't feel that passion that the advocates do or that the people on the bar owner side feel. And I suspect that that doesn't translate into a lot of demand for politicians to take action, frankly, when you got most people living in a smoke-free world.
So the fact that in some ways the market has spoken has relieved some of the pressure on the public sector. Senator Alting,
I think there's a little truth in that. And as I said in committee, I was a speaker at a group of about 80 people Saturday morning in Tippecanoe County, and I asked them, for my own purposes, raise your hand if you frequently go to a casino. No hands went up. How about if you frequently go to a bar? None of the hands go up, and I know some of them that was in the audience, so I know they enjoy occasional drink or two. So I'm assuming it was what the call-in individual was talking about. They don't go because of the fact of the smoke. And then I asked them, well, how many of you go to restaurants? Everyone's hands goes up. How many of you go to the workplace? All their hands go up. So this is another reason why, you know, John's got some truth into this, it's easier to chip away at what legislators and the constituents particularly can relate to of how it affects their lives immediately. But I'll tell you, and which is the workplace and the restaurant. But I like what she said in this call-in, and, you know, it could be a real good tool for possibly the advocates to use in meeting with the Licensed Beverage Association in different groups of saying and the changing the format a little bit about can you look at how possibly this could help. I mean, it's a good argument. John's right. I'm one that doesn't. I'm a member of the American Legion. I seldom go down there because of the smoke. I stay at the Columbia Club. You will hardly ever see me on the third floor where my colleagues hang because of the smoke. I just don't do it. You know, it's something that cigarette smoke I just can't handle along with my sinus and allergies. So it was a good suggestion by the call-in.
Representative Charlie Brown, do you agree that in some ways letting the market deal with this is and increase the pressure makes sense?
Well, my passion for this is centered around, and as is the General Assembly, money. It's very unlikely that 9 out of 10 of the bar owners or the restaurants provide health care coverage for those workers. Most of them may be part-time, minimum wage. Yet, when those persons get ill, who they have to rely on to take care of those health care needs? That's the public. That's additional money out of our pockets through Medicaid or at the hospitals, maybe charity care. that in itself should encourage at least 26 of my colleagues in the Senate and 51 in the House to say this is a very serious issue that we need to look at a sincere public policy centered around smoking in public places because it's costing us more and more money. North Carolina, the tobacco capital of the world, adopted a comprehensive smoke-free air. New York City, the tourist capital of the world, has had one for years. How is it that Indiana, a medium-sized state, cannot come with the majority and say that this would make good public policy for the state of Indiana?
Lindsey Grace, I'm going to toss that one back to you because I think at some level conversations move back in your direction, and there are two issues there. One is the success, frankly, that smoke-free air advocates have had, basically persuading business actually undercut your position when trying to get public policy through. And is this argument about letting market pressures and work over time one that you would consider?
Yeah. Well, this is a health policy and not a market-based decision. We don't let the marketplace decide who we want to immunize and who we don't. We don't let the marketplace decide whether or not a restaurant can serve meat at a temperature that is not safe. So there's certain things, and we believe that the smoke-free air policy is one and the same. We don't only immunize 80% of the population of Indiana. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. So, you know, we can't just pick and choose which places we want to have a health policy for and say, well, you're not good enough. You don't make it, so sorry, you're not going to be covered by this health policy. So I think as more states go smoke-free and more education and more cities, that is kind of increasing from a grassroots-type perspective like the caller, that when they come into Indiana or to Indianapolis and they're used to being around in a smoke-free state or environment, and they come here and they walk into a restaurant and they say smoking or non, I really think people are like, wow, you can still smoke in restaurants in our state. And then when they come to Indianapolis or other great cities around Indiana and they walk into a bar, they're like, wow, I can't believe you can still smoke in here, which is what we saw with the NCAA when we had teams from Michigan and Iowa, which are all smoke-free. You can't smoke in any bar in either of those two states. And they came to Indy, this amateur sports capital of the world, tourism and everything, and they were like, wow. And it looks poorly in my personal opinion. I'm a huge Indianapolis fan. I love my city. I live downtown. I work downtown. But I think it reflects poorly on us as Hoosiers and putting our best foot forward. And I'm always disappointed when people come to our community and are saddened that we don't have smoke-free bars and nightclubs, which is all we are asking for. And I'd like to, everybody, there's been some comments made that we want it all or nothing. And that was not the campaign's talking points. We did not fight the casino exemption. We did not fight the nursing home exemption. We did not fight the private club exemption. So saying we were all or nothing is very not true. We wanted restaurants and bars and taverns. And we were willing to compromise at the end because we understand the political process. So I don't want people to think that we're all or nothing because we're not.
Lindsey, well, why would you say restaurants? Restaurants wasn't in that. I keep hearing your association continue to say, and even in your advertising ads against me in my local newspaper in Lafayette, Indiana, you say that the senator wouldn't consider taking out the restaurants / bars and taverns. Restaurants is always taken out. In the bill, you couldn't smoke in a restaurant. I'm just curious why you continue to mislead people on saying that restaurants is not in the bill.
Oh, we know restaurants aren't in the bill. We didn't mean that by any means. I mean, the things that we really wanted were restaurants, workplaces, and bars and taverns. We know that restaurants were in there, but that was like our minimum. I mean, that's what
we
were saying.
Well, that's certainly not what you've been saying, and I got the ad that can show it to you. I mean, it was very blunt that Senator Alding was holding up in the taverns, supporting the taverns and the restaurants. Restaurants was already out of it. It was very confusing, even to the local smoke-free people, of understanding why your organization would put such an ad in like that when it's just not telling the truth. Restaurants was never in a place in this bill that you could go to and smoke.
Yeah, well, Lung Association didn't take out that ad, so I can't speak specifically to that ad, but I know that the Lung Association and the coalition I can speak on behalf of what we wanted at minimum wasn't all or nothing, was restaurants, bars, and taverns. And we did get restaurants. I acknowledge that. And I
thank you for doing that. Because that is, restaurants was in the bill.
Senator Alting, who took out the ad? Do you know who the?
It was the American Cancer Society.
Okay.
And that's okay. You know, I'm all right. I'm in this. I'm an elected position that comes with it, and I have no, you know, I have no ill feelings to that. You know, I believe they have the right to lobby and they have the right to disagree, but I just want to make sure that they do that in a professional manner, and they do that in a manner of simply telling the truth.
We're going to thank the people who helped make the programming here at WFYI possible. We're talking about a public smoking ban, and our guests are Ron Alting, Senator Ron Alting, Lindsey Grace, Mike Smith, John Livengood, and Representative Charlie Brown. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I'm John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. We're talking about public smoking bans here in the state of Indiana, and our guests are Senator Ron Alting, a Republican from Lafayette, Representative Charlie Brown, who is a Democrat from Gary, Lindsey Grace of the Indiana Campaign for Smoke-Free Air, and the American Lung Association. I keep hoping that will roll more trippingly off the tongue than it does if I practice it.
We say ICSA.
I'm not sure that helps. John Livengood, who is the president of the Indiana Restaurant Association and Indiana Hotel and Lodging Association, and Mike Smith. Thank you for having a very short group name. President and CEO of the Casino Association of Indiana. I am in your debt for that. Speaking of the things that were exempted from the bill, we've gotten a question from a listener, Colleen Drum, who says, as I have heard discussion of the proposed no smoking bill and its exemptions, I am totally puzzled about the nursing home exemption. While the other exemptions are somewhat understandable, I have no understanding of why there shouldn't be strict no-smoking regulations at nursing homes. Nursing home residents would seem to be a population which should be protected from secondhand smoke. What's the thinking here? Senator Alting.
Well, I'm not sure if Representative Brown's still on the phone. It was added.
Yes, I am.
He might be better qualified to answer that simply because it was added in his committee.
Representative Brown.
Yeah. Some of the representatives of the nursing homes indicated that they are grandfathering the current residents who smoke can continue to smoke. That is viewed as their place of residence. Therefore, they cannot be denied that since they're already there. But they are not accepting other clients that smoke. Then others are saying there's those that receive federal assistance, the feds deny them not allowing persons to smoke because that is considered their home. So our hands, it's kind of iffy there about if in fact all of them decide that from moving forward, clients coming into the residence would be informed that this is a smoke-free facility, then they probably can ultimately get to a total smoke-free society at nursing homes.
And just to show you how people are all over the place on this subject again,
yes.
We had testimony in the Senate from a nursing home operator who was saying, we want that left in because in our nursing home, we have an average resident that smokes per person 2 packs of cigarettes a day. We have a designated place. We feel like this is their right to do so. And he also stressed that an average stay in a nursing home is 4 years, and in his nursing home they live 14 years on the average to stay in there. And I thought to myself, my goodness, we can't even come together on a nursing home issue on should it be smoke or smoke-free.
I think if I ever end up
go
in
ahead,
a nursing
please,
home,
Mike Smith.
I'm,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Please.
If I ever end up in a nursing home, I'm going to pick up smoking again just for something to do. But, you know, and I think that's a great point. You know, someone was telling me yesterday that there is a nursing home that the people that work in this one room, it's a fireproof room. They have a fireproof bib that goes on the resident. They give them the cigarette and light it, and they leave and then come back and do it again. You know, and I think when you look at the population and if you're in a nursing home, you want to smoke, you have a nicotine addiction, I think that's something that should be considered.
And Lindsey Grace, I know before we went to the break, you indicated that that your group and coalition had accepted the idea of the nursing home exemption. What was the reasoning for that?
Well, accepted might be the wrong word. It's definitely something that we weren't going to live and die on. You know, and I think this can kind of speak to Representative Brown's point. These people that we have in nursing homes are probably the most fragile, and a lot of our dollars from a Medicaid and Medicare perspective are going to fund this. These are our tax dollars. They should be in a healthy environment, and we're trying to prolong their life and not limit their life. And I know it's a very passionate argument of, you know, if I'm, you know, in my last years, I should be able to do what I want and be comfortable. But we really need to take a step back and say, are we really helping these people? This is a health care facility. We're providing for the health of these people, yet we're allowing them to not only harm themselves with our taxpayer dollars, but harm the other people that work in that facility as well. So it was very strange, and I think even Senator Long was like, I don't even really understand why this exemption or how it got in there.
Mm-hmm. Mike Smith, I'm going to let you have the last word on this, and then I want to go back to Representative Charlie Brown.
I was just wanted to address the dollars and cents issue. I think a couple of years ago there was an additional tax placed on cigarettes, and if you look at the amount of tax that is placed on cigarettes today, you could make a bit of an argument that a lot of this health care cost is being borne by the people that do buy cigarettes or tobacco products.
Right, but the money that the state generates from our tobacco tax is in no way equal to what our state spends in treating smokers and non-smokers' illnesses.
Representative Charlie Brown, I know you're taking time away from legislative duties. Here, I just want to ask one quick question before
Charlie,
we let you go, and that is, are you going to bring this back next year, this bill back, and in what form, if you do?
I intend to request an audience with Senator Alting, who made the statement, I think, stating that he will work aggressively on trying to get something that he feels can pass out of both chambers, and I am eager to sit down and discuss that. This session is not yet over, and I have not given up the fight for this year. And so, therefore, we will be visiting this subject matter again before we sine die on April 29th.
Well, there's a little bit of news. Thank you. Thank you for joining the program, Representative Brown. Good luck with the rest of your day.
I might point out, sure, in the case of the veterans clubs and so forth, it's interesting that we had a letter or a news clip from the top commander, I've forgotten his name, that when he was sworn in, and I think he has a 4-year term, he indicated that the VFWs, the American Legions, all of them need to look at the fact that we have young veterans also that are looking for family-friendly places. And so he was trying to encourage all of them to look at cyber cafes, daycare, and other activities that involve the entire family. And in his own words was that we shouldn't allow 20% of the overall veterans population to determine whether, in fact, those facilities should be smoke-free. So, I mean, it appears as though all segments of the society are trying to get into the policy, whether it is a good public policy to say, at public places where the public is invited in, there should not be smoking.
Thank you for joining us today, Representative Brown.
Thank you.
Good luck with the rest of your day. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks. We have sort of framed this argument now. It sounds like on one side you've got the issue of public health concerns and really what we're not obviously allowed to, you know, to take drugs or do things like that in the society. The other argument has been classically that, you know, if you own a business, you should be able to decide what legal activities are allowed to take place there. Is there any compromise ground here? And I'm going to bring a caller in on this. Mike from Tipton.
To take place there.
Mike, could you turn your radio down a little bit? We're getting some feedback. Mike, are you with us?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And I understand you're calling from Tipton, and you've you got a comment about how you would feel if you were a business owner.
Yes, exactly. I'm a non-smoker, and somewhat of a miracle, I suppose. Both of my parents smoked, and I smoked for 30, 40 years. But my, if I had a business, I would be really upset by someone trying to control it. If those people choose to lose business by having their own, by allowing smoking, that could be easily dealt with by having them provide insurance for their workers. And they could even have a directory available for people who walked in and decided not to stay of non-smoking restaurants in the area. And I also think that beyond trying to pass a law, I don't think we need more laws. I think, except it may be in addition to a law, is to tax cigarettes out of existence, if that's your plan. I think tobacco companies are lobbying probably against that, but I've heard that cigarettes in Chicago are around $10 a package, and I think Indiana could use the revenue.
Thank you for the call, Mike. Well, is that another way to solve this problem? I'll throw this back to Senator Alting first. Would increasing the taxes just on tobacco products?
No, I think that's short-sightedness. If we're going to approach this, we need to do it in the way that we're doing, and hopefully find some compromise to do it. But I don't think that's way. But I do want to say what Mike said is what I think a huge movement is, not just in Indiana but throughout America. Look at who the individuals that we elected to Congress. What are they standing for? Less government. The people that sent them there made sure and told them over and over again, we want less government involvement in our day-to-day lives. We had huge changes in the State House. If you go talk to those new representatives and new senators, I think you're going to find out that just about every single one of them would tell you the same, that, look, I came here to make sure that government is keeping out of the pockets of businesses and their thinking. That's up to the business owner to make those decisions. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, but what I am saying to you is that Mike is right, and there's a lot of people like Mike out there that are elected that's making decisions that believes that. And there's a huge movement from Tea Party right on through that less government is good government.
Well, and I guess John Livengood.
One of the misconceptions in this debate is that we don't have a statewide tobacco policy in this state. Mm-hmm. We some of us helped pass a law a number of years ago that requires every restaurant, every business to post their policy so that people can do exactly what Mike has said, vote with their feet, and patronize those who don't choose to allow smoking. We even put out up on our website a list of the restaurants that were smoke-free and the ones that weren't that were our members. And I think Smoke Free Indiana did the same thing for a while. They had a website. I don't know whether they still do that or not. But that kind of information for consumers is part of the reason why most of us live in a smoke-free world today.
Go ahead, Mike Smith.
I just wanted to point out we were in the field doing some polling back in October 12th to the 17th. 602 interviews with likely registered voters, and this kind of goes back to the point of why this is so politically difficult. Of all of those people that predicted the tsunami,
and the who was doing the polling was it the Casino Association?
We paid for it. It was done by Vox Populi out of Virginia.
Okay.
It also predicted the Republican tsunami at the State House, but it showed. And we just asked the question: and would you total favor or oppose or favor the legislature imposing a statewide ban on smoking? 43% favored it. 46% opposed it. All registered voters, 100% registered voters. I got the demographics of everything on here, and I'd be happy to make this poll available to anybody that would like to see it. We ask a lot of political questions and the views of the casino industry, but it shows how split, and it's not a weak split. It's 31% very much oppose them doing anything, and 30% very much favor them doing a smoking ban. So it makes it a very tough political issue.
Lindsey Grace.
Well, we also have a poll that was done in July statewide poll. We have Indianapolis polling as well. I mean, as a policy analyst, I think it's very important of how you ask the question. But we have one that says 2/3 of Indiana supports making public workplaces smoke-free, and we even asked. We didn't ask the casino question, but you said workplaces including bars, restaurants, and taverns going smoke-free, and we have a 66% number. Also done by an independent firm, the Governor's Pollster is actually the firm that we used out in Virginia as well, of a very similar amount of likely voters as well. So, you know, numbers are numbers, and whatever that figures lie.
What accounts for the division here? I mean, is there any way to breach this, Senator Alting? I guess I would toss that back to...
Well, since they got to share their polls, I got to share mine.
Okay, go ahead. Why not?
You know,
because numbers make such compelling radio.
That's exactly right. You know, in Tippecanoe County, you know, we've got Purdue and the great public school system. You know, our polls there are in the high 70 percentile to ban all smoking. I mean, right across the board. You know, from my standpoint as chairman of the Public Policy Committee, and I think Representative Brown would say that, working over their former chairman and author of this bill, it's not that we don't disagree. It's what we look at each other and say, what can we pass? Mm-hmm. And we say that not lightly. We also look, and I fought for bills. It's taken me several years to get some bills through. But how many are we talking about to get a complete smoking ban? I can't see it. I can't even see it. But I can see making great strides in the workplace and in the restaurants and chipping away at this little by little. So and I tell my constituents that it's certainly not because we don't believe in a health-free society as much as what's realistic, particularly with the new movement and the attitudes of Hoosiers and Representative Senators, what can we realistically get through?
Senator Alting, I think we're going to have to let you have the last word here. I'd like to thank Senator Ron Alting, Lindsey Grace, Mike Smith, John Livengood, and Representative Charlie Brown for being our guest today on the program. We're going to talk next week about the issue of historic preservation and preserving Indiana landmarks. I am John Krall. Please join us next week. Thank you for sharing this time with us.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman. Board Engineers, Matt Sosi and Josh Hamig. And Intern, Monica Schwab. We invite you to join us each Thursday at noon for No Limits. And you can listen online at WFYI.org.